Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
College football summer is no time to slouch because we are taking you to school on the Cover 3 podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. It's time for our annual summer school series as we take time to break down some of your favorite teams with experts and insiders who know these depth charts from top to bottom. But summer school is just extra credit as we go through positional drafts, player rankings, and more. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Evan Roberts, Tiki Barber. It's Evan and Tiki on WFAN, The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
I want everybody to repeat after me. Calm down, deep breath, everything's gonna be okay.
I thought you were gonna say welcome back, Loogie.
Oh yeah, hi Loogie, how you doing?
Welcome back.
Baseball's a very funny game because over a five-game stretch last week, the New York Yankees scored 39 runs. But over their last five games, they've scored 5 runs. And that is extreme. And everyone needs to realize, with a deep breath, before we get into the weeds on this, that the Yankees are not an offense that's going to score 1 run per game. I understand getting shut out by the Angels last night was bad, embarrassing, pathetic, and all that. I understand getting shut out by the Boston Red Sox on a Sunday night is bad, embarrassing, pathetic, and all that. This is baseball, and over the course of an 162-game season, you are going to go through funks. So let's just all understand that. Now, with that said, while you're going through an offensive funk, you can still win games. Mm-hmm. You can still win games because your pitching is really good, which the Yankees certainly got last night, a great performance out of Clark Schmidt and a really good job out of their bullpen. But you need to do the little things right. And there were a few things late in last night's game that, yes, I'd admit, would drive me nuts if I'm a Yankee fan, because you can win games
right
when you're only scoring 5 runs in the last 5 games. So I'll throw them at you. I'll tell you where I have an issue, where I don't have an issue, and we could all have a nice civilized discussion. Are you ready?
I am.
Number one, Anthony Volpe bunting in the 7th inning was stupid. I don't like it. I don't like it because there's a runner on first and nobody out. And while it's a 0-0 game, I don't love giving an out away to just move a guy to second where I'm still going to need another hit to drive that run in.
Right.
So there are some bunts, as you're about to hear, that I like, that I want, and other bunts that are flat out stupid. So when Volpe was bunting in the bottom of the 7th inning of a scoreless game, I politely said to my TV, I hate this. I don't like this. Am I out of line or am I right?
No, I think you're partially right. But I think this Yankee lineup also realizes that they're going through a funk. It's one of those things where if you're as bad as you seem from the fan standpoint, do the players actually think that? Or do they say, no, we're fine, we're good, I'm going to hit today? I think Anthony Volpe, and this, for whatever reason, he's always the guy. He comes up in these moments where he needs hits. We saw it at the end of the game as well. And I think he's trying to be creative. I think he's trying to be spark-driven. And whether he was told to do that or not, it doesn't necessarily matter. But I think he wants to be the spark that gets the Yankees out of this funk. And by bunting and moving Jazz over, I think it creates an opportunity for them to score. Now, ultimately, Austin Wells gets out and Mayhew grounds out. So ultimately, it doesn't matter.
Well, that's part of the problem. But you're bunting with the bottom of the order coming up and you need a base hit. Like, yeah. I hate it. I think it's dumb whether it came from Aaron Boone, which I don't know because no one asked Aaron Boone after the game, mm-hmm. or it came from Anthony Volpe himself. My answer is, I don't care. I think it's stupid either way.
Well,
I don't like it.
Well, he knows what his role is. His role right there is to move the runner.
No, his role is to get a base hit.
Or move the runner.
You have the bottom of the order coming up.
I know that. But Austin Wells, at moments, don't forget he was third in Rookie of the Year last year.
I know,
year.
But you don't give outs away. Outs are valuable. And I think what really annoyed me about this, and yes, things are connected. Two innings later, in the bottom of the ninth inning, after Giancarlo Stanton leads off with a double, and congratulations to Tiki. If you missed it on yesterday's show, he correctly predicted Giancarlo's evening, and you were spot on.
Except but he didn't hit a home run.
He didn't hit a home run. I left that part out. But you were right about the amount of hits he would have. But when Giancarlo leads off the bottom of the ninth inning with a double, it's basically pseudo extra inning rules. Because now you got a runner on second and nobody out.
Yes.
You can even pinch run, which is a no-brainer that you're going to pinch run for Giancarlo. We warned you about that yesterday. You're going to pinch run for him late in games. Now with a runner on second and nobody out, I'm a bunt guy. Now I'm up for the bunt. And Jazz Chisholm, who I like, I'm a huge Jazz Chisholm fan. You are not good enough. I'm sorry. There are certain guys in baseball who are so good, I would never ask them to bunt. Jazz Chisholm is not good enough to not be asked to bunt. And what really pissed me off, I'm pissed at everybody. I'm pissed at the broadcast team. Todd Frazier correctly says, like in a whisper, hey, Michael, shouldn't Jazz be bunting now? Michael Kay didn't offer a damn opinion. He kept his mouth shut, didn't say a word. Mm-hmm. Same thing on the radio broadcast. Dave Sims says, hey, this would be an interesting spot to bunt. Susan says nothing. I'm screaming at the TV, bunt!
Right.
And what does Jazz Chisholm do? He strikes out on three pitches. Right. And what drove me nuts is the combination. You're telling me you're bunting with a runner on first and nobody out in the seventh, but with a runner on second and nobody out in the ninth, where it's literally the winning run, you're not bunting? That drove me nuts. It was stupid. Not a damn person asked Boone about it after the game. And don't tell me Jazz Chisholm can't bunt. Because quite frankly, you are not good enough to be a non-bunter.
Right.
So that's my big issue.
Right. Now, here's the other side of it from Jazz's standpoint, because he has been struggling. Bunt and get a hit. Right? You can bunt for a hit. Right? I know he's trying to be the hero and drive in the winning run in the ninth inning, but bunt and get a hit and keep everybody alive.
At the minimum, get that guy to third base.
Right.
You have less than two out. There's nobody out. Get the man to third. Like, I'm big on advancing the runner with less than two outs from second. With a runner on first, nobody out, we're all excited about giving up an out to move the guy to scoring position?
Right.
That, to me, makes no sense. So, I don't even know if I'm angry at Boone necessarily, whether it's his decision or not on the Volpe bunt. But the Jazz non-bunt is on Aaron Boone, and I don't like it. And then, two innings later, what happens? Or one inning later, I should say. Bottom of the 10th inning, oh, we got to try to bunt with DJ LeMahieu. we've got to do that. Meanwhile, DJ can't get it down the first time. That's on DJ. The second time, he pulls it back. And the third time, he's swinging away. Like, there's a reason why the Yankees are atrocious in extra inning games. Why? Mm-hmm. Anybody want to answer that?
Well, because it becomes a small ball game.
And they're terrible at it.
Yes.
And it's from the mind of the manager sometimes, and it's also from the execution of the players. It's a combination of both. But to me, Jazz Chisholm not bunting in the ninth inning, like, of all the things we're going to get to from last night's game, that's actually the thing that bothered me the most. I mean, who is Jazz? He can't bunt? We're not talking about Aaron Judge here. We're not even talking about Paul Goldschmidt. We're talking about Jazz Chisholm, who I do believe has a chance to become a superstar, but he's not there yet. Hit the freaking ball or place a bunt down and advance the runner. That's why the Yankees are garbage with runners and are garbage in extra inning games. Dude, the numbers are the numbers. They suck in extra inning games.
I don't think.
And this is why.
I didn't think about this until you brought it up yesterday. I've never even paid attention to it. Their extra inning record. And now, after losing last night, they're 1-5 in extra innings. Whereas the Angels, who are, I mean, whatever, they are who they are, they're 5-0 in extra inning games. And so, it's about getting hits at the bottom of your lineup, which the Yankees, I mean, forget this season. It's historically been this way. Mm-hmm. They're a top-heavy team, and these bottom-of-the-lineup guys are either low baseball IQs or they just don't execute in the moments where you need to put bat on ball and get a run across the plate. And so I know this is frustrating for Yankee fans right now, but it is an anomaly that you got to believe you're going to come out of at some point.
It is an anomaly.
Because they do score runs.
But, Teague, see, this is my point. It is an anomaly. The Yankees scoring 5 runs in 5 games and being shut out in back-to-back games, that's not going to last forever.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
College football summer is no time to slouch because we are taking you to school on the Cover 3 podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. It's time for our annual summer school series as we take time to break down some of your favorite teams with experts and insiders who know these depth charts from top to bottom. But summer school is just extra credit as we go through positional drafts, player rankings, and more. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Forever. My point is, you can do little things while you're struggling to still win games anyway. And last night was a great example of it. Go back to the first game where they stopped hitting. We all forget about this because they won the game 1-0. The last game against Kansas City, they scored a run.
Right.
They were able to win a game despite only scoring one run against the Kansas City Royals on a Thursday night, right? So you can win games while you're not hitting. My issue from last night is not to just lambast them for not hitting. It's baseball. I get you're going to go through funks. My issue is if you do the little things right, you can win anyway. And I'll give you another big issue I have. So Jason Dominguez is stealing third base. Anthony Volpe has a 2-2 count. Like, Anthony Volpe in that sequence can't do anything but continue his at-bat.
Right.
It's not like Dominguez gets a big jump and Volpe has the option to not swing and let Dominguez steal third. You want to know why? Because that 2-2 pitch was strike three.
Of course.
So the inning is done. So my issue isn't with Anthony Volpe. My issue is if you're Jason Dominguez and you're going to run, which I don't have a problem with. I love aggressiveness. I loved Anthony Volpe trying to steal base, third base on Friday night. I was the one guy defending him. I stand by that. My issue is you got to know when. Why are you doing that with a 2-2 count? What? You're wasting the steal. Like, you're wasting it. Because now you're forcing the batter who's up to not even think about the fact that you may steal the base easily, but instead has to protect himself.
Well,
and you don't know it's going to run right into the runner, obviously. That was kind of a fluky, weird baseball thing.
Right.
But why Dominguez is running on a 2-2 count, that's the part where I'm like, why? What's the benefit? Like, walk me through what good is coming out of this.
Do you think it was him, or do you think he was instructed to do that?
No, I think that was on him.
You thought he's stealing third on his own on 2-2?
Yes. Yeah, I don't think he's getting a signal to steal third.
Then that's a low baseball IQ play.
I don't like it. Yes, I agree.
Of course.
Someone yesterday compared him to Gleyber Torres. I said that's not fair. That kind of decision is a bad one. So if you want to compare that to Gleyber Torres, fine.
Yeah, but Gleyber didn't do that. Gleyber was more of that fielding stuff. Right, that was what would drive, and the fact that he was swinging for the fences every for half a season or a season and a half. But I don't. This is more just a Jason Dominguez thing. This is a young player who's trying to be impactful, but doesn't know exactly how to be impactful yet.
And what are you impacting? Like, think about that. That's the other question I have. What are you impacting by trying to steal third on a 2-2 count? Doesn't do anything. Now,
unless Volpe gets a hit, then you come around and score.
Well, he's going to score anyway on a hit.
True.
Like, it's not going to make a difference.
That's true.
Like, sometimes you have to look at the risks-rewards. Now, was it fluky as hell that Volpe hit the ball right at Renjifo, who then makes it basically a caught-stealing kind of play because he fields it and tags the runner out? Of course. But I'm also looking at it and saying why. And there was a lot of whys last night. Now, Sean, have I said anything incorrectly?
I think one thing, just to be clear, unless I'm losing my mind, the count was 2-1 when Dominguez stole.
It was 2-2 is what my memory says. You want me to look it up just to confirm?
Just to confirm, because I remember my anger being that the count was 2-1, and whoever lost communication in that point, he did not have to swing as the base was stolen.
Foul ball, 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 foul ball.
I thought it was on.
Foul ball. It was 2-2.
Foul ball.
No. The foul ball, I think, when it was 2-1, was when the steal happened.
The count was 2-2. Okay. If I'm not mistaken.
Yes.
If it's 2-2, I'm wrong. I thought
he fouled off four balls in that at bat.
Thank you.
And it was seven pitches.
It was a 2-2 pitch. It was a slider right down the middle. He swung, obviously, and he hit the ball to third base.
Then so, I stand corrected. I thought it was that second foul ball when it was 2-1 when he took off. I remember that anger being in real time for me.
What, that Volpe didn't swing? That Volpe shouldn't have swung?
Because I was under the impression it was 2-1 in real time.
Well, maybe you get out of your pool while you're watching the Yankee game and pay attention.
It was 60 degrees, Evan. I was in the basement.
Either way, that's not on Anthony Volpe.
No.
I mean, that is on Jason Dominguez. And again, I walk you through it. What's the point of doing that? Like, early in the count, you do it because you get to third with less than two outs. You have a chance to score. I'm not against stealing third base. I'm against doing it with a 2-2 count because what are the odds that Volpe's just going to take ball three and you're going to steal third base?
Right.
Volpe's got to protect the plate. He's just fouled a few pitches off. That's where it doesn't make sense. And these are the kinds of little things, some of which we can put on the manager, some of which we can put on the individual players, where you lose games even when you're not hitting.
Right.
Like, again, I'm not berating the Yankees right now for not hitting. It's a baseball season. This happens. 162 games, you're going to cool off. The real question for the really good teams is, can you win games despite that?
Right. When you have these lulls in your success, you at least stay around 500. Now, the Yankees are actually doing that. They're 500 over, just under 500 over the last 10. So they've been bad, but they're not burying themselves out of first place.
But
the problem is everybody else is starting to catch up.
Oh, but hold on. In the first five games of the last 10-game stretch, they were scoring a ton of runs.
Right.
But the recent offensive struggle is just a five-game sample size. The last game against Kansas City, the three against Boston, mm-hmm. and obviously last night, and their record there is 1-4.
Right.
So they haven't been winning games when they don't score runs. They did it on Thursday against Kansas City.
I'm not saying not scoring runs. I'm saying going through a lull in your success quotient, right? You're not winning series after series. You're losing these series, but you're still around 500.
Oh, I got you.
That's where the Yankees are right now. This is what you talked about. It's like, get streaky. Win whatever it is, 12 or 15 out of the next 20. And then when you have those moments where you're not winning series after series, just be 500.
No, that's the key.
That's where the Yankees find themselves right now.
Now, there was one other moment from last night's game. Some may call it the headline of last night's game that caused anger. And that was when Anthony Volpe came up, game on the line, down by a run, bases loaded against
Dave. Always Volpe, by the way.
It always finds him.
It's always Volpe.
It always does. Bases loaded, two outs, down by a run. And Anthony Volpe obviously swung at the first pitch and hit a ground ball to third base. This caused a lot of angst from Yankee fans that Volpe shouldn't have swung at the first pitch, including our very own Sean Morash, who expressed his anger in a very, very intellectual video post last night on X.
That's a terrible loss. That's a terrible loss. Is Volpe serious? The guy just comes in, bases loaded. Take a pitch. Take a pitch.
He sounds annoyed, Tiki.
Very annoyed.
Well,
interestingly, it was the exact pitch that he got in the ninth inning as well.
Yes, indeed.
Slider.
When we come back, I'll explain why Sean was wrong then and wrong now.
Take a pitch!
Anthony Volpe was not wrong for swinging at the first pitch. And we'll get to your phone calls at 888-808-1019.
And Sean was right. It was 2-1 on that play.
It was 2-2.
No. He went again on 2-2. 2-1, and that was when Frazier had a problem that nobody was communicating. It was 2-1, Volpe even
on the play where he was thrown out at third base on the ground ball, the count was 2-2.
Yeah, on that play.
That's what we were talking about.
That play, you're talking about he ran earlier in the count?
Yes.
Okay, that's not that play. That's a different play.
No, but that's the issue with that at bat.
That's a different sequence.
Okay.
But on that play, 2-2, he's running. I don't know why he's running on 2-2.
And at 2-1, who cares? He wasn't out. On 2-2, he got out.
You're saying he shouldn't have swung on 2-1. That
Correct.
Is a fine point. It's a different point.
Okay.
He ran multiple times in the at-bat.
Right.
When he ran on 2-2, my argument is, why are you running on 2-2?
Okay.
What are you gaining out of it?
I know we're going to continue this. You're right on that.
Thank you.
It should not have come to that because Volpe should have been taking 2-1. Somebody should have communicated when he has that open path to steal.
We will address that different sequence when we come back. Because there were two attempts for Dominguez stealing third base in that at-bat. Now, poor Anthony Volpe's taking a beating from all corners. We'll get to him swinging at the first pitch in the bottom of the 11th. In that sequence with Dominguez running, he ran on a 2-1 pitch. And Volpe got a fastball up, and he fouled it off.
Yes.
Dominguez, by the way, almost got doubled up because he dove into third base, got up, and was like, what the hell just happened? If that ball was caught in foul territory, it would have been a double play. But I can't even kill Volpe for that either because it's a 2-1 count. It's a fastball up against a tough customer in Kenley Jansen. So if Dominguez is going to try to steal third, which I'm not against, do it early in the count.
My biggest issue with that was just the lack of communication. And maybe that's solely on Dominguez.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that's from the dugout.
Oh, he's running on his own. I think that's obvious.
So if he's running on his own, then it's on him in that spot. Somebody's got to give some kind of signal like, hey, if he goes, sees, you got to take there. Because it's not a strikeout if you take the pitch spot. He takes third there.
Yeah, but
it stops the whole what happened.
How is Volpe supposed to know that? Seriously, it's Kenley Jansen, so you know you're getting a lot of heat. How can you keep your eye on Jason Dominguez through the pitcher and then make a decision that's happening in a split second.
I agree with
you. That's like almost impossible.
Old school baseball, it's the, you know, the hand on the nose, rubbing down the pant leg.
Yeah, do they do that anymore?
Well, then that's an issue. To me, when you're bad at small ball stuff, maybe you need to go back to some of that stuff because that's horrible miscommunication.
Right, that's the fundamentals.
Now, the lasting image of this game is that with the bases loaded after Jazz Chisholm got that little infield hit that almost turned into an error, which almost tied the game, Anthony Volpe came up with the bases loaded. Dramatic moment, down by a run, and Volpe swung at the first pitch, and he grounded out to third base, which, if you're just tuning in, garnered this reaction from our very own Sean Morash last night right after the game.
That's a terrible loss. That's a terrible loss. Is Volpe serious? The guy just comes in, bases loaded. Take a pitch. Take a pitch.
Now, before I tell you why you're wrong, do you want to elaborate on why Volpe was such an idiot for swinging at the first pitch? I'd love to learn more. Well,
first of all, it is not a clean fastball down the middle. I argued about this with Big Mac about this. Secondly, Strickland is the back of that Angels pen. They've used through him. It's two pitchers left. He comes in ice cold, Yankee Stadium, ready to burst for a big moment. All I ask in that spot, unless it's the most hittable pitch on the world, let the pitcher think for a second and let him get beat. Maybe he throws a ball and you're behind in the count 1-0, something like that. I'm sorry. I can't live with a weak ground ball on a pitch that was not a perfect pitch to hit when the pitcher is on the ropes. You're trying to win a game. It was atrocious.
It wasn't a fastball. It was a slider in the heart of the plate. Mm-hmm. It would have been a strike. So if he doesn't swing and Great. Sean gets his way, the count is 0-1.
I live with 0-1 there.
Do you know what Anthony Volpe hits when he swings at the first pitch?
Here's the numbers you're going to drop on me. Go ahead. Tell me.
It almost doesn't matter. Well, I know what you're doing, Evan, but it doesn't matter.
Why wouldn't it matter?
Because each at-bat is individual.
Thank you.
It has to be.
No, but it shows you, and I'll just give you the number.
It shows you his aggressiveness.
When Anthony Volpe swings at the first pitch this season, he is hitting .440. Okay?
This is where stats are BS.
No.
Lies, damn lies, and statistics.
But you know what 440 also tells you? It means he fails 56% of the time, right?
Uh-huh.
So when he went aggressive on that slider, a strike, a pitch to hit, it was the 56% of the time. Because even when you hit ungodly numbers like 440, you are still failing more than half the time. Anthony Volpe, like most players in baseball, this is not just unique to him, I want to be clear, when they swing at the first pitch, they have a better chance of coming through with a base hit than falling behind in the count 0-1 and 0-2. Now, if you're upset that he swung at a slider, it was a strike.
Evan,
he didn't hit it. He didn't hit it well. He rolled it over. It sucks. It's baseball. Idea to blindly rip him for he should have taken the first pitch, I don't think is based on reality.
Blind?
Yes.
I sat there living and dying with every pitch last night. For some reason, in a June game versus the Angels, really pissed me off.
Because they'd lost 3 in a row, that's why, to the Red Sox.
And getting shut out at home. Evan, this is where I hate to sound like the old man now. The number crap, the analytic crap. We're talking about simple baseball mind and sound stuff here.
Which is what?
You can throw all the numbers you want at me about is over 400 average on first pitch.
440.
440. Yeah. Great. Okay? That encompasses starting pitchers, closers, all of this stuff. We're talking about a moment where the little old Angels have now loaded the bases and have to go to their seventh reliever of the night. And here comes Hunter Strickland to Yankee Stadium. By the way, we're not talking about a game versus a pitcher at Coors Field. And all I'm asking you to do is, in that moment, the moment is tense, the pressure is now on the pitcher. Let him think. And if that's a strike and you go down to 0-1, you don't strike out after one pitch.
What's Anthony Volpe's batting average behind in the count
0-1? Stop telling me the batting average. I don't give a crap about his batting average depending on the pitch, because not every pitcher is the same.
205. So it goes from 440.
What are you not understanding? I don't care. Nor does the audience care. Right. It's irrelevant.
It's the moment matters.
But the numbers show you he has a better chance of succeeding when swings at the first pitch versus being behind in the count 0-1.
Are you trying to get me dragged out of work today?
Didn't succeed. That's the point.
Yeah.
Because even when you hit 440, you fail 56% of the time. He didn't succeed. I'll be the first to tell you. But the idea that the strategy was wrong is not backed up by fact. I'm sorry.
The numbers don't make any sense. It doesn't matter.
How does it not make sense?
Because if those were his numbers swinging first pitch versus Hunter Strickland for his career, then it's apples to apples.
Right. You need a deeper statistical analysis.
Yes.
You need to see what Volpe with a at-bat with a new pitcher and with the bases loaded, first pitch swinging. What is it? That's just too deep, right? You could figure it out, I'm sure.
But his overall number swinging at the first pitch are not against the same guys over and over again. It just shows
I know, but
he's more effective. Just like every other player in baseball is more effective when they swing early.
But the situation matters. The bottom of the 11th inning, the seventh pitcher, as Sean keeps pointing out, the bases loaded, right? All of those things have to be calculated into
the stats. But you got to walk me into why that would make you less aggressive.
Because you're pulling out a number from a vacuum.
Okay, but tell me why those situations you just laid out would make you less aggressive. Why? Because there's a new pitcher, you should be less aggressive? Because the bases are loaded, you should be less aggressive? Why?
Because the circumstances in that situation, the pressure is now on the pitcher, right? You have three strikes. The pitcher has one mistake to make and the game's over.
I got you.
Right? And so the pressure is on the pitcher. So keep it on him. Don't cut him loose by taking away his pressure.
But I don't think you're taking the pressure away, because the reason why baseball players in general succeed aggressive in the count is sometimes the best pitch they're going to get to hit is pitch number one. Like, for example, I'll walk you through this. He doesn't swing. Sean gets what he wants. It's a slider. It's called a strike. Mm-hmm. Now Hunter Strickland can be a little bit more aggressive in terms of not throwing Anthony Volpe a strike on strike two.
Okay, good.
And get him to chase and get him to foul one off, because now you put the batter on the defensive, which is why hitters in general succeed more when they swing early in the count.
Tiki, just let me give it 1 second. That is 0-1 in that spot.
Yeah.
Okay, what if the next pitch, because he doesn't want to throw him anything over the strike, so once again the chase, Volpe doesn't chase, ball goes in the dirt, goes to the backstop, run scores, ties.
That's a what if, but the same what if applies if Anthony Volpe swings and misses.
Okay.
Because now he's behind in the count. He needs to be more defensive.
Evan,
why would you put yourself in a spot to fall behind in the count? The numbers are the numbers. You are less successful when you're behind in the count.
Because
he got a pitch to hit. He didn't hit it.
It's a slider. It's not a fastball. It's not necessarily a great pitch to hit. Stop it.
It was right there in the middle of the zone, bro.
But it's sliding. That's the point of the pitch. It's a slider.
Now you can't hit Hunter Strickland's slider. It's impossible to hit.
I'm not saying that, Evan, but what Tiki is saying, right, the circumstance matters. This is not just the same old.
I disagree with both of you. I don't think the circumstance should make him less aggressive, just like it didn't make Aaron Boone less aggressive when he swung at the first pitch against Tim Wakefield.
And that's another thing, too. Knuckleballer, completely different. You got to take when the ball moves. Here's a stat. The Yankees still lead the league in run differential. Does that matter over the last games, the 5 games, when they can't score? No, it doesn't. This team is struggling to score runs right now, and he made life easy on the pitcher by not even making him think in a freaking extra inning game with the bases loaded in Yankee Stadium by giving him a weak grounder on the first pitch. I'm sorry. You're dead wrong.
Here's what I don't understand. Tiki and I disagree with each other.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't yell at each other.
I know.
Why are you getting so mad? I'm just disagreeing with you.
Because he's frustrated by his Yankees. That's why.
Look, I don't want to yell.
Don't be frustrated by me. Be frustrated by the Yankees. I'm giving you a nice reasoned alternative. Are you biting on something now?
I'm just pissed off, man. That was the most frustrating Yankee loss of the year, and I understand it's June baseball, and I don't want to, you know, be like the overzealous guy, but that, to me, I can't hear an argument where that weak ground ball, you go, well, that was the right move, because based on his 400 average versus a million different pitchers, I'm sorry. There are a lot of times I'm going to be wrong. More times than not, I am wrong when I speak in this microphone. I am so damn right now, and you just have this perfectly calm... I think your calmness is pissing me off, too. You have this calm, pompous look on your face. I want to wipe the smirk right off your face. You're wrong. Take the pitch.
I kind of hope... I don't want to ever say I hope the Mets lose, but I kind of hope there's some situation in a Met game that freaks me out where Sean can calmly take the other side just to see the reversal of this and see what happens. But I'm just giving you a reason take. Look, the numbers are the numbers. When Anthony Volpe swings at the first pitch, like every other player in baseball, they are more effective. That's the bottom line. Now let's get to your calls. You calm? He's still red. His face is still beet red.
You know what? Sue me for being a diehard fan. What do you want to do?
No one's mad at you for being a diehard fan. We're having a debate, a baseball debate. Was Big Mac on my side?
Yes, that's how you know you're wrong.
That's great.
Let's go to Matt in Westchester. Good afternoon, Matt.
Hey, Matt.
What's up, boys? How we doing?
Good.
Good.
Just real quick before I make my point, I think the Yankee lineup just came out, and you guys have another leader in the Yankee leadoff tally. Dominguez leading off.
Oh, my goodness. Is that breaking news? I'm so excited. And these guys, especially, who do I blame for this? For not breaking the glass and giving us Jason Dominguez as leading off today? Is that even true?
Yes, it is. And it came out 2 minutes ago while I was on with you. And I love this.
Yes!
This is the lineup now. This is a runs lineup.
Now, the reason, Matt, I'll let you make your point. I apologize. The reason why I'm raw animalistically excited is that at the beginning of this season, we all made a bet. Who's going to lead off the most?
Yep.
And to the credit of the returning Tommy Lugauer, and he does deserve immense credit for this.
Generational talent.
Really, of all the generational talented things he did, this may have been his greatest rabbit. He said Paul Goldschmidt, and I mocked him, openly mocked him. Colby, he's not leading off. Paul Goldschmidt has obviously done it a lot this season. My prediction, Tiki's prediction, and Sean's prediction all have put up basically zeros.
Yes.
Sean said Cody Bellinger, hasn't happened this year. Tiki said Jazz Chisholm, hasn't happened this year. And I said Jason Dominguez. So for Dominguez to just get on the board, to get his first time leading off for the New York Yankees, is probably a top five baseball moment for me this season.
That's how you reward good base running.
All right, Matt, go ahead.
Right. Anyhow, I'm sorry. Make your point, Matt. That was wonderful. Thanks for telling us, though.
I'm happy to bring that up. I'm going to preface it also by saying I'm not a Yankee fan, but I am. I'm a baseball fan.
Yeah.
Evan, I'm going back to what you said in the you versus Sean debate that I wish Tommy was there for last week. Is when Judge isn't hitting 400 with a 1300 OPS, who's pulling the slack? And I think we're starting to see it because Grisham and Rice and Goldschmidt are all hitting 150 in the last 2 weeks, and Grisham and Rice even longer. And I think that, you know, when you start to look at the Yankee lineup over 162 games, Bellinger has been this 750 OPS guy now for like 5 years, right? And, you know, you don't really sort of see who's going to get better. So I think one thing, and I would love to hear Sean's opinion on this, is if Judge does come down 20 or 30%, like, who's picking up the slack here? Well, I think these five games.
And Matt, so this refers to a discussion we had Friday. What a different tone around here on Friday. And Tommy, you would have loved this. It was simply who's better, the Mets or the Yankees.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, do you have an opinion on that? Who's better, the Mets or the Yankees?
I have two opinions. One, it's the Mets. Two, why did you do that without me?
You missed a good day.
I saw that on the Odyssey app. I'm like, that's right in my wheelhouse. We could add a Lou Gehrig debate series.
Don't worry, Tommy. You, by not being here, did not have to apologize like Sean and Evan had to.
Yeah,
I was just the judge. I was just the arbiter.
They haven't won since.
neither team has won since.
Yeah,
so
but
they had to apologize. So you escaped the needing to apologize to all the fans that were engaged vigorously in that debate with us on Friday.
And as of right now, we are looking at 0-7 from the two teams since that happened. But I did make the point to Sean, and I don't want to use the last five games as an example, because I do think the last five games are an anomaly. They've scored five runs in five games.
Mm-hmm.
The Yankees don't have a putrid offense. But my point was, the offense, which at the time, and still does, lead the American League in runs scored, is probably going to come back to earth, because Judge isn't going to maintain hitting 390,
mm-hmm.
and the rest of the lineup is average. And there are guys coming back to earth, like Ben Rice, like Trent Grisham, and even, as much as it pains me to say, like Paul Goldschmidt. So to your point, or to Matt's point, does it concern you that if Judge is going to be a little bit less of a superhero, where are you getting the production from?
Yes, but this lineup in pair actually solves a couple of the issues I want. The two guys that need to be sitting for this team with Giancarlo returning is obviously a big deal. He has that double.
Mm-hmm. 100%.
I think that's going to help.
Yep.
Trent Grisham and Ben Rice need to sit right now. I know that we need to jam everybody in and figure this out. The Bloom, Ben Rice, younger player, I still have high hopes for him. I think Trent Grisham has regressed back to what he is, which is a fourth outfielder, plays really good defense, gives you some pop. He had a great magic carpet ride, hitting leadoff a bunch. This team now, Jason Dominguez, when he plays, I think is still more likely to get those hits. That's why I like this. I think Dominguez could pick it up. They've sacked Goldschmidt a couple games. And also, Jazz has quietly had a couple nice games while they've been getting shut down here. He had those couple hits early, although I wouldn't have ruled that third hit a hit last night. but yeah, I am concerned. And Austin Wells, too, man.
Right.
I mean, he just feels like an automatic out right
well,
now.
Well, I mean, it's a shame because we started the season and he let off. There was his only, was that his only time leading off? Or maybe he's done it one other time.
No, that was it.
He let off, went yard. Everybody was excited about what the third in the rookie of the year balloting last year was going to do, who he was going to be. He's going to be this star. I mean, hell, you could even at some points last year bat him cleanup and have him as protection behind some of your bigger hitters. This year, it feels like either he's so wrapped up in being a catcher and that's taking over, kind of like Francisco Alvarez, to be honest with you, after his rookie season, or this is just who he is. And I think, unfortunately, this might just be who he is.
I do agree that this lineup right now, and I'll give it to you in a second, feels like the strongest one Boone could put out there. Dominguez leading off for the first time, Judge 2, Bellinger 3, Giancarlo 4, Jazz 5, Goldie 6, Wells 7, Volpe 8, DJ LeMahieu 9.
At least it gives you with Paul Goldschmidt, who's still hitting over 300, someone at the back end of your lineup who can get a hit when you need it.
And they're also balancing the righties and the lefties. Right, you go switch, right, left, right, left, right, left, right, right. So that's your Yankee lineup tonight. Before we continue with your calls, Tommy Lugauer, are you worried? Because now Jason Dominguez is on the board. And if we check the batting order standings, for the record, Trent Grisham leads at 27. Good chance he'll go back to being what he is, a fourth outfielder. Goldie is at 23. And now Jason Dominguez is at 1. You have a 23-0 lead. Are you afraid that you are going to collapse and blow this lead now?
Are you asking me if the Yankee leadoff contest is over? Is that what you're asking me?
Yes.
I feel very confident because I don't think the Yankees will have a lineup day in, day out that'll be the same. So I think with the parity and the lead that I have, I feel very, very, barring an injury or something like that, I feel very confident. My worry is Goldie being benched, though. I told you this last week that he won't hit in July and August and he won't play.
Right.
So that scares me a little bit.
Yeah. We'll see. I think Dominguez has a chance to take this job.
I do, too.
If he be calm.
But he's got to have really good days.
He's got to have good days. He's got to get on base.
He's got to be smarter at bats. Like, he's got to do all that stuff.
And if he does that, he'll do it against righties. What Goldie will maintain is doing it against lefties.
Right.
Because Jason Dominguez is obviously a better left-hand hitter than right.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
College football summer is no time to slouch because we are taking you to school on the Cover 3 podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. It's time for our annual summer school series as we take time to break down some of your favorite teams with experts and insiders who know these depth charts from top to bottom. But summer school is just extra credit as we go through positional drafts, player rankings, and more. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bob is in Keyport. What's up, Bob?
Yeah, how you guys doing?
Good. Good. What's up, man?
Yeah, just wanted to say, last night's game, very disappointing. You know, a lot of parts that annoyed all of us. One thing that made me super happy, you see Jazz come up, no outs, runner on second, and he doesn't bunt. You know he's a real Yankee.
You know he's a real Yankee. You know, what annoyed me and what annoys...
Swing hard, Jazz. Swing hard.
What annoys me in baseball is sometimes in an obvious bunt situation, like I think Jazz faced in the ninth inning, it's easy to say, well, how often has he done it? And you look at Jazz Chisholm's career, he's only laid down three or four sacrifice bunts in his major league career. And my anger...
Right?
Yeah. But the problem is that's everybody. Guys are not asked to bunt. And here's the flaw in that. We have a rule now in Major League Baseball where there's a guy on second with nobody out.
Right.
Now, granted, Chisholm had a different scenario because it was the ninth inning, so the runner on second wasn't the rule. It was Stanton double, right? I just want to clarify the difference. But in a spot where you got a runner on second and nobody out, and you're in the bottom of your inning with that run winning you the game.
Yeah, bottom of your lineup, you mean.
Yes.
Yeah.
Not bottom of the lineup, bottom of the inning. So score the run, you win.
Right.
Bunting is going to make a lot of sense, I'd say, 7 times out of 10. Not every time. There are going to be certain guys where you're like, I'm not doing that. But in a case like this, it makes sense.
And so, he also might get a hit.
Right. So if the argument is Jazz doesn't bunt, my counter is learn how to. Because in this modern baseball, with the runner on second rule, there is no excuse for guys not being able to bunt. Am I wrong?
I don't disagree. You automatically put a guy in scoring position, even if there is one out, so they score with a fly ball. You don't just need a hit. A fly ball gets you across the plate and winning a game.
Or if there's a ground ball, you force your opponent to make a play, which they did last night throwing Goldschmidt out. But at least you force them to have to make a play.
And all this little small ball stuff like bunting, it is the easiest thing to work on. Mm-hmm. Like, instead of everybody swinging for the fences for like it's home run derby in batting practice, why is this not worked on in season? It drives me nuts.
And you know what should drive you nuts even more?
Why?
I don't brag about much. I really don't. I'm a good bunter. I was really good back in the day.
You better have been.
You're damn right I better have been.
Well, you couldn't hit otherwise.
Exactly. Exactly. JP is in Scotch Plains. What's up, JP?
Hey, how's it going, Evan and Tiki? You guys are great, and I've listened to you for a long time. I've never called, but Evan, you guys are talking about a topic that is like a soapbox topic for me, and that is obvious bunting situations. As a Mets fan, I did not see the Yankee game, but it sounds like there's an opportunity for an obvious bunting situation. The Mets had 1-86. It actually worked out for them in Game 6, if I remember that situation right. But in the Carlos Beltran, Adam Wainwright, bases loaded, everybody remembers this moment. Yeah. Evan, do you remember the moment where Willie Randolph could have bunted?
Tom Glavine. Tommy Glavine off the bench, one of the best bunters. He goes to Cliff Floyd. Cliff Floyd strikes out, yes.
Evan, I'm in the stands with my friend. I'm like, he's going to go to Glavine. This is going to be like the classic NL manager move, pulling a starting pitcher off the bench with the pitcher spot up. He brings in Floyd. And by the way, thank God Floyd struck out. Because if I remember right, his ankle or knee.
Yes, if he hits the ball on the ground, it's a double play good night. And I thought the exact same thing there that night. Like, I'd rather him strike out than hit the ball on the ground.
Yeah, and listen, I'm not a gambler. I'm not at all. But I do play blackjack every now and again if I'm ever in a casino. Some of us believe that if you don't hit a 16 with a face card showing, it ruins the rest of the shoe, the rest of the deck. I believe that if you're in baseball and you don't bunt when it's a bunt situation, you screw up the rest of the game. Bumpy situation is because of Chisholm not bunting.
Yeah, here's the problem. I don't actually, I go back and forth on the 06 thing with Tommy Glavine being sent up to bunt. To me, that circumstance is very, very different.
Right.
My main point is in the world we live in now, where you're automatically being given a runner on second with nobody out, not being able to bunt is a crime.
I know, but it's also, you got to think of the mindset of the modern player. I need a hit, I can get a hit. Even though statistically that's not necessarily the case, people think they can get a hit.
Mm.
Players think they're confident enough in themselves, and their managers probably believe in them to go get a hit when you need to get a hit. The Yankees just haven't been able to do it.
Well, I think this is all connected. You know, we spoke yesterday about the Yankees' incredibly bad extra inning record, mostly on the road, but even at home they've struggled, and you try to ask why. And I think the why is mostly situational hitting. That's the why. Look, Jazz Chisholm doesn't bunt. At least hit the ball to the right side.
Yeah.
If you do that, you accomplish the same damn thing. And where this is frustrating, and I think where this does put up alarm bells, obviously these rules aren't featured in the postseason. Like, in the postseason, we play real baseball. We don't put a guy on second. But in the postseason, as Yankee fans certainly know, scoring runs feels more difficult. And it feels like the games the Yankees have played over the last week against Boston, last night against Anaheim, is more likely to happen in October, where those little things matter, and it's the difference between winning and losing.
Well, it's also because you get in October, the pitching is just better.
Right.
It's the better teams. And so you're going to be in situations exactly like the Yankees have seen over the last couple of games where they, you know, two runs, what was it, against Boston the last game, one run this time. Like, you have to be able to situationally hit, and one for 18 with runners in scoring position is not going to get it done. And so I wonder if the objective or the focus isn't as dialed in as it should be. Meaning, literally explain, hey guys, this is a June game, but these situations are going to matter when we get to the next season. So be dialed in on them, right? It's not just a regular game. Just keep it in mind. And I wonder if that happens enough with this Yankee team. And I don't know if it does, but it feels like it doesn't.
We'll get back to your calls in a minute, 888-808-1019. And the Yankee lead is slowly dwindling in the American League East. Yesterday, we put out that poll, who is the biggest threat to the Yankees in the AL East? We'll take a look at the results, analyze it, and more of your calls, including on the new Yankee lineup they're going to try tonight, which features Jason Dominguez leading off for the first time this season. It's Evan and Tiki on The Fan.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
College football summer is no time to slouch because we are taking you to school on the Cover 3 podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. It's time for our annual summer school series as we take time to break down some of your favorite teams with experts and insiders who know these depth charts from top to bottom. But summer school is just extra credit as we go through positional drafts, player rankings, and more. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.